great and wonderful work and commitment that he has made.
Good afternoon, Assalamu Alaikum. It's truly, boy, it's been one hell of a ride so far, I tell you. I'll say my legal career, I don't think I've ever had this difficult of 81 days. And I think the reason is because I care so much about Salah Sarsour as my brother. Before I'm his attorney, I'm his brother. I'm so honored, very, very honored to have had the opportunity to be on this amazing legal team for somebody who's so amazing. You know, I took issue with a little bit of what he said earlier, Salah, where he said, we're the heroes. Wallahi, Salah, you're the hero. And for anybody who knows you, they know that you're the hero because you are the person that speaks truth to power. And what I love about Salah Sarsour is, you know, for those of you who heard the sermon today, our dear Sheikh Rami talked about being with God and doing what pleases God no matter what the cost, because you know you're pleasing a higher power. That epitomizes what Salah Sarsour is. And so I think for those who don't know Salah, for those who are commenting online about whether good or bad about Salah, many people had negative things to say about somebody they've never met before. Without knowing the person of Salah, know that he is somebody who stands in the path of God and does things to please the Almighty in order to better himself, his family, and society at large. So those who want to comment, know that that's the person that you're commenting about. By the way, this was on the scripted part. Now I'm going to get to the scripted part. So the scripted part is, our dear Congresswoman Gwen Moore, as Brother Uthman has indicated, she went at least twice to see Salah to ensure that he was being taken care of, to look after his health. We'll talk about that in just a few moments. And she also spent some time writing to the jail and writing to DHS to get them to treat Salah better. Her statement reads as follows. I'm so overjoyed that Salah is home. So many in our community had his back and were supporting him. From the beginning, I knew that Salah was being targeted by the Trump administration for his advocacy for Palestinians. In America, this is not a crime. It's a right entitled to individuals, no matter who holds the White House. The judge's ruling reaffirms this. To Salah, I say welcome home. I wish I was there to give you a big hug, but I am there in spirit, sending lots of love. And that is, again, from our Congresswoman Gwen Moore. While in custody, as we indicated in our filings, in our legal filings, Salah had not received, in my opinion, in the legal team's opinion, and more importantly, in his medical team's opinion, he had not been receiving treatment that was necessary in order to make sure that he didn't get ill or something, God forbid, worse would happen. As Luna kind of alluded to, his physician has always indicated very clearly, unequivocally, that he needs his blood sugar tested at least daily. That was refused. His physician indicated that he needed to take certain medicines. Now, they did give him some medicine, metformin, but other medications were ignored. He has ulcers until now on his feet that went untreated, despite his request for them to be treated. Incidentally, I will note, the day of his release, they finally decided to give him a Band-Aid on the, and put that on top of the ulcer, instead of actually treating him when he requested the treatment. Salah didn't lose 30 pounds, just for the record. He lost 35. How do we know this? Because we sent him to the doctor today to get checked out. 35 pounds and 6 inches of his waistline. I want you to let that sit in for just a second. In 80 days, he lost 35 pounds and he lost 6 inches of his waistline. I spoke to his physician today and I asked him how his health was. And His physician was very unequivocal. He said, you know, Manjit, I'm worried about the amount of weight he lost so rapidly. That concerns me quite a bit. I'm worried about the fact that he has these ulcers that went untreated. And frankly, had it not been for his faith, his being Salah, his faith, his resolve, his resilience, his strength, I think something really bad would have happened to him. His physician is shocked that he didn't come out worse for wear. And I want the media particularly to let that be known. And it's not just about Salah. We have Salah back, thankfully. But there are other people languishing in Clay County and in ICE custody who are being mistreated, who are being disallowed their proper medical care. The fact that it was only about 50 degrees in his cell and they gave him a thin blanket and told him make do with it should tell you all you need to do about that. No, to tell you all you need to know about ICE's intentions. I don't blame necessarily only Clay County Jail, because the directions were not coming from Clay County. The directions were coming from ICE. Let's be clear about that. We could get a doctor, please. A doctor, please. You can see the toll that this is taking on his family. This is his son who passed out just a moment ago. And I'll tell you, they haven't slept, they haven't ate, they haven't drank properly, and this is the result of what happens when your father's gone for 81 days. I think he'll be okay, he may be dehydrated, but he hasn't slept, as Salah is indicating. He has not slept because he's been anguishing over missing his father. And again, this is the result of what happens when people are taken in a manner that is unjust. The good thing about the ISM is we don't lack for doctors. We have a lot of doctors. So that's yeah. His son, Muhammad, who was the one that passed out, I will just tell you, I said this to actually my wife maybe a month or so ago, that I was worried about him particularly because he wasn't showing any emotion about anything. He was cooping it up inside, and I could tell he was cooping it up inside. And I think what happened today is that he, yesterday, had a wave of emotion, and that's kind of the result of that. Salah was not given his medical attention. And I was saying that Salah is not the only one we should be worried about here. That ICE is doing this to everyone. We have in Clay County over 200 plus ICE detainees, abductees, that are being treated immensely poorly when it comes to medical care. And it's high time for our administration to realize what they're doing is un-American. To abduct somebody because of his speech, his advocacy for Palestine, is totally un-American. And we saw that this judge in the federal court, Judge Harlan, for those of you who didn't read the decision, it's a 29-page decision, his decision was very, very strong. He made it very clear that he felt that the reason that Salah was abducted was pretextual. In other words, that the reason he was abducted was because of his speech. He made it very clear that he felt there was a substantial, and his words, not mine, substantial evidence, that there was substantial substantial evidence that the only reason Salah was abducted by ICE 35 years or so after having a green card, after multiple interviews with immigration over the decades, was only because of his advocacy for Palestine. He made it clear in his decision that in recent history, there are only four people in which the Secretary of State used the determination of adverse foreign policy, and all four people were advocates for Palestine. Judge's decision was a breath of fresh air, was a decision that led me, at least, to say, you know, maybe our system of checks and balances is working. Maybe our Constitution is not going to be gutted. Maybe there are people in the judiciary who are strong enough to stand up against the Trump administration for what's right, to stand up to uphold our Constitution and our freedoms. And I think Judge Harlan was one of them. All of this effort could not have gone without the help of an enormous amount of people. Salah thanked the community. I also will thank the community. This community, and I don't mean Milwaukee alone, but of course Milwaukee had a big hand in it. From coast to coast, we were getting letters and declarations from people when we weren't even asking for them. We ended up with about 300 declarations from people nationwide, which we sent to the judge. And those people need to be thanked, so all of you, for your declarations, for your statements on behalf of Salah. So certainly thank you. The community organizations throughout the nation, those some here and some all over the United States, need to be thanked. They organized, they became activists. Some people who have never been activists before all of a sudden became activists. We have a robust team, a legal team, we have a robust social media team, we have a robust working group team. I won't even try to name all of them. There are dozens of people, and I know I'll forget some. The legal team, I will just say some of the lead attorneys on each legal team and their law firms, but just know not one legal team or not one law firm only put one attorney on his case. Most of our law firms have multiple people working on Salah's case, and I think that's important to know. Luna Drubby, you heard from her. I would like to thank her and her team, Beldrock, Levine, and Hoffman. Patrick Terrell and his team at Grossman Young Hammond, they're taking the lead on the immigration side. Mark Vanderhout and his team of Vanderhout LLP, they are also helping on both the federal side and the immigration side. Samuel Cole from the ACLU and the ACLU team. Kate Brady, the Muslim Legal Fund and her team, and Hassan Ahmed from Virginia, who is the law firm of Hassan Ahmed. Those are just some of the attorneys on the case. I also would echo Salah in thanking Othman Atta for his immense assistance. And I will just say one more time, it is truly, truly my honor to be part of this legal team. I get to work with some of the greatest minds in law, both on the federal side and the immigration side. I've learned so much from all of them. And more, or as importantly, I get to work for somebody who deserves it in Salah Sarsour. I get to work for somebody who I truly believe in. I get to work for somebody who's my best friend, who's my brother, who I love dearly. Thank you.
Okay, I want to just end by thanking the media. Okay, this is not part, it wasn't part of the plan, but I'll tell you, without being able to get information to the public, without challenging the government narratives, I do believe that the press is the fourth branch of government, because it keeps the government clean when the government is trying to do things based on false information or misleading information, or they're not giving people all of the proper information, where they take an individual who's been here for 30-some years without any criminal record, conviction, charge ever in the United States, and they're using what has happened in a country that is committing ethnic cleansing and genocide, and yet they try to defame Salah Sassoon and his community. It is the press that will keep the government in check. We have a system of checks and balances, and we need the press to constantly ask questions, particularly of those in authority, particularly of the government. And we thank you, and you deserve a hand for all the work that you do. I want to thank you for coming and reporting on this. I want to thank all of the community members for being here as well. This is just the beginning, because as Attorney Drewby mentioned, you know, he was released on a bond, but the habeas case is still moving forward. He also has an immigration case, which is, immigration is very politicized. Immigration judges are part of the Department of Justice, not part of our judicial system. Those immigration judges that have called for the release of Mohsen Mahdawi and Rumaysa Öztürk, the woman, the Turkish woman who only wrote an editorial in support of the people of Gaza, and that got her detained and they tried to deport her. The judges that decided to release them, the immigration judges, were fired after they made their decision, because the Department of Justice is the one that's in control. It's not part of the judicial system. Judge Hamlin is part of the federal court system. And even though he was appointed by President Trump, he made his ruling based on the law, based on our First Amendment rights, based on constitutional principles, and that is what makes this country great. It is those individuals who, despite the party that they belong to or what background they are, they're willing to rule based on the rule of law, based on just principles, and not based on politics. Again, thank you all very much. Thank you.